The book of John, chapter number one. John, chapter number one. We're in our third lesson, our third message, looking at the I Am of Christ. We've looked at I Am the Son of God, I Am the Father, and today I want us to look at the Lord Jesus saying, I am the Word. The Word became flesh is our focus this morning. I told our Sunday school class, I read a little bit of a letter. We got about a two-page letter from our missionary, Brother Mantonia, who's retiring and because of his medical issues. And he told us a little bit about how he came to know Christ. And he said, it was 66 years ago. He was 14 years old. And he said, I was sitting on a rock near my favorite fishing spot, and I looked around at where I was sitting, and I looked at creation, and I determined that somebody created all of this. And it was literally 10 years before he ever came to know Christ as Savior. But he said, I came to know Christ through looking at where Christ, what God had put me in, at the creation, proved to me that there was a God. We think back to the book of Genesis this morning, and everything that we see and everything that we have and everything that was created when God spoke a word. And he said, let there be. And as he spoke the following word, it came into existence. For instance, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And each thing that he created and divided and set in place was all at his word. And now I want us to read for our text this morning from John chapter number 1. And you stand with us, if you would, please, for the reading of this portion. We'll be back in this portion a little bit tonight. We'll look at also in the book of Hebrews for a few moments this morning. In the beginning, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, when you come to verse number 6, looking at verse number 6 through verse 9, it's talking about John. But when we come to verse number 10, it changes back. It's talking again about the Lord Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And verse number 14 is sort of our focus for the next little while. And the Word was made flesh. And what happened? And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you pray with us, please? Father, help us now as we look at Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, God in the form of flesh, and the Word became flesh. Teach us to understand the significance and the importance, that we may be able to know You better, to develop our relationship more personally and strongly with You than maybe we have before. Teach us, we pray, and encourage us from Your Word. And then give conviction from Your Word that we may understand the value of the Word becoming flesh. We pray Your presence with us and Your abilities for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated if you would, please. Because God's children are human, we're all human beings, God chose to become flesh. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And it furthers what John was writing in John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, we saw Him. He was here with us. And John could say that, for he lived in that day. In Hebrews chapter number 2, if you would please. And since we are all human beings, made of flesh and blood, Jesus, to save us, had to robe Himself in flesh and blood and come in the form of a human form in order for us to be saved. Hebrews chapter 2, and look, if you would, to verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as a celestial being. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So we see here his desire to reconcile and to save men. He moved upon the desire, and he took upon himself a form, not of an angel or a heavenly being, but he took upon himself the form of humanity, a servant. And then we're given the purpose. He's made like his brethren, that he could be faithful and merciful priest. Verse number 18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is also able to succour them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Consider, he says, Jesus Christ. Now, we've been studying the last two Sundays, and I have told you, I'm in a place in my life that I don't want to just know Jesus like I did yesterday. I want to grow in my relationship and knowledge of him. And therefore, I have been looking at and studying these things, these I ams of Christ. And I know him. And the first week, some looked a little puzzled when I said, we don't really know him. And I wasn't talking about not being saved, but we don't really get into the intimate knowledge of Christ. Not to say that what we do know hasn't changed us and made us a little different, but we're not exactly where he wants us to be. We talked about change in Sunday school this morning, the fact that all of us change, and change is not a bad thing. It has to be monitored. We have to watch. We have to be careful. We don't change for the sake of change, but Christ did not save us to leave us as we are. Christ saved us to change us into what he wants to be. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 and 14 said, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I want us to have a desire in our church and in our relationships and personally. I want to do something to fertilize or feed the appetite of our church people to know more about Christ, to get to know him in a stronger way than we have in the past. And today we're focusing on that phrase, the Word became flesh. Jesus was fully God when he walked on the earth. And he was fully man when he walked on the earth. And I know there's a lot of doctrinal questions and there's a lot of how questions to that phrase. I want us to look really at two separate things today, two pieces of this today, thinking that Jesus was a man. Now, the first point in the things that we're looking at this morning is this. We know Jesus was a man. How do we know it? Let me give you some scriptural proofs that Jesus was a man. We just read John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh. Now, when we look at this, we know it because Scripture reveals it to us. We're told over and over in the Scripture that the Lord Jesus came to the earth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which, remember, the death of the cross was an embarrassment. It was a shame. So now Paul tells us in Philippians, Scripture reveals to us in the book of Philippians, Scripture reveals to us in the book of John. Now in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 14, for as much then as your children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. And through death, You see, we consider today as human beings the ultimate enemy that we have in our lives outside of the devil in our minds, we would say, the enemy is death. That's the last thing that takes us. When we're reading in the book of Hebrews, we find that he subjected himself to that death, the part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death. In verse number 17 of that, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Now I want you to stop and think of that, if you would, for a few moments. Jesus was deity, yet he became human. Jesus became flesh and blood. Now we have to be careful of isolating him out and putting him up on this pedestal above humanity. There's a lot of things that being fully man he experienced. Now 1 John chapter 1, turn over there if you would please. 1 John chapter 1, and let's have a couple of verses there. 1 John chapter number 1. So he is deity, he is fully God, but he has taken upon himself the form of a human. He is 100% God. He is 100% flesh. Now, he does not sin. We'll cover some things with that in a little while, but we have to grasp, and simply, there's those that deny the fact that Jesus was deity. Now, we're going to find that in 1 John chapter 3 when we're looking at a group of wrestlers who are trying to, and I don't mean physical wrestlers, I mean in their mind they're wrestling out who Jesus is. Now, 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Scripture reveals that Jesus clothed himself with humanity. A friend of mine and fellow pastor, Brother Mike Aylstock, is in Jerusalem today, or he was yesterday. He's been there throughout the week, and he's been updating us where he was. One day, he did a little recording. He said, I'm at Caiaphas' house. And he told us a little bit of the significance of that. One day, he said, I'm beneath the city of Jerusalem, in what was the original road in Jerusalem. One day he stood in front of the Mount of Olives and the garden there, and you could see the garden gates. One day he said, I'm standing in front of the garden tomb, and you could see the open tomb behind him. Talked about the significance of the resurrected Christ. There are those that argue the existence, but really even history itself, the secular world can't argue with the fact that Jesus was a person. And the Scripture reveals to us that he was a person. The second thing that we find with this, the Scripture reveals it, and also because he himself, his life, reveals this to us. Now, we have to understand that when you look at Jesus, you see him that he lived as a man. Now, understand this, he was virgin born, and that set him different from every other man, but still he was conceived in the womb of his mother, just like you and I. How did he come here? Through deliverance. He was delivered from through the process of labor of Mary. Now, he grew and became dependent upon his parents, as every child is dependent. His parents had to feed him, and they had to bathe him, and they had to change him. Jesus had to learn to walk, just like you had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. I wonder this. Maybe I could write a Christmas song out of this. I wonder what his first words were. I wonder what the first human words out of Christ's mouth were. Did you know he had to learn to talk? He had to learn to walk. He had to be dependent upon his parents. Do you know this? He got tired. And when he got tired, he had to sleep. Why? Because he was in human form. He got hungry. And he ate. He got thirsty. And he drank. When he fell down as a child, he got bruised and skinned just like you did. And if you hit him, it bruised him. If you cut him, he bled. And if you crucified him, he died. Why? Because the Word became flesh. Now, we have the word used incarnation. Two words, incario, which means clothed in flesh. Now, we put a deity portion on the Lord Jesus. And I have never yet seen a Christmas decoration with the scene of the manger and the stable and all of that that was real. I have never been in a stall where animals were kept that smelled pleasant. I have never been in one that was clean. Now listen, I have been in barns and places where animals were kept 20 years ago. And the barn has been empty for 20 years and it still stunk. When he was born, he was not born in a sterile environment. When he wiped his forehead, and I was just telling you last week about Justin looking in his rearview mirror and Remy was sitting in the back seat doing this. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing what Papa does when he preaches." He sweat just like a human being does. I wonder if he snored. I think occasionally he hit his thumb with a hammer. Because you remember Joseph was a carpenter and he's teaching little Jesus. There's something about keeping him divine that pushes him at a distance from humanity. And if we're going to get to know him, truly know him, I think we have to grasp, not just with our mouth and with our memory, this phrase, the Word became flesh. What difference does it make? That's the second thing we'll look at. If the Word became flesh, what difference does it make? And I'm going to give you five reasons that that it makes a difference. Number one is this, because Jesus, the man, allowed us, first of all, to see God. No one has seen God to this point. The closest that we get is back in Exodus chapter 33 with Moses. And Moses was actually brought to the point in his life in Exodus 33 when God said to Moses, "You can ask of me something and I'll do it for you. I'll answer that. I'll let you." And in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, here's what he said. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." What is he saying? He's saying, "God, I want to see you. I want to look upon you." And here's what God said back to him, "And I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I be gracious, show mercy upon whom I show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Why is that? Because we can't look on the holiness and the perfection of God. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." If we read the scripture on, Moses was not allowed to see God face to face. He was only allowed to see the back of God. That's all he could take. And 1,400 years, that was as close as anybody had ever come to seeing God. I was reading a biography. I guess it's been 2 or 3 years ago, just a short pamphlet biography about a fellow that his hobby that he got into. He was a preacher, and he said, "I wanted to keep an aquarium, and I wanted a saltwater aquarium." And he said, "I never knew what it took to operate a saltwater aquarium." He said, "I didn't know I was going to have some kind of degree for a chemical laboratory to keep all of this stuff." He said, "Adding the nitrate and this and this and this, and I had to learn to put antibiotics in, and I had to do this, and I had to do that, and I had to do all this other. And he said, I had about five really beautiful fish in this aquarium. I was doing my very best to take care of them. And here was his point. He said, I did all of this. I had all of this labor, and I grew in my knowledge of it. I was doing I was putting my very best into these fish. And he said, but every time I walked up to the tank, the fish would go to the bottom and under a rock. And he said, I never got to see them. I never got to, and you know, he built it on and on. He said, I was watching that one day. He said, I just pulled a chair up and sat down next to the aquarium. And I was watching, I was waiting for them to come out. And he said, they would stick their nose out from the rock. And that's all I ever got to see. And he said, I sat there and wondered, how can I ever get to know these fish? And it's a very simple illustration. He said, the only way that I figured I would ever get to know these fish is I would have to become one of these fish. I would have to be incarnated in the form of. And he said, I knew that that was an impossibility. And he said, then I came back and I read all the things of Scripture that God does for me and tries to do for me. And yet I shrink back from His holiness and His goodness and who He is. I hide myself away. I get myself back. He wants to know me. He said, I, taking care of these animals, I wanted to know them. I wanted to appreciate them. He said, but they hid themselves back. And he said, I look in Scripture and I see my own spiritual life. God does all of this for me and He's laboring for me. He's working for my best interest. And I shrink back from Him. And the only way for Him, which His purpose was not for me to hide, His purpose was to know me. His purpose was to fellowship with me. And he said, the only way that that can happen is for me to be incarnated into His image and likeness. And he did that through Jesus Christ. He clothed himself with flesh. The Word became flesh. Now he is like God in every way, and he is like man in every way. So Jesus, first of all, allows us to see God. The second is Jesus, the man, allows us to see ourselves. How do you see yourself this morning? Now, honestly, answer to you, how do you see yourself this morning? Are you important? Are you valuable? Are you acceptable? Are you significant? All of these. Do you see yourself as someone who has worth? A large problem even in Christian circles today is how people view themselves. They don't see themselves as important. You're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ today. I want to tell you this. You are significant. You are valuable. You are important. You are desirable. You are acceptable. You are all of those things. And it's not because of you, but it's because of what Christ can do for you because He was the Word made flesh. A lady walked into a church in Philadelphia. She went at the request of a friend. She walked into the church and she had told her friend, I'm not going to go to church with you. I've been to church before and I know what they'll say. I know the looks that I'll get when I walk into church. I've been to other churches looking. She said, I know how the congregation will turn and look at me. She sat through and listened, and fortunately, this was a church that when she came in didn't look at her for what she had on or what she looked like or all these other things. They realized that the greatest need of her life was Jesus Christ. You know, you can recognize that in someone. If you're a Christian today, you look at somebody that comes in the door, you can tell a person that is with Christ and a person that's without Christ. And many of the people of that church said, we're going to invite her in because she needs Christ. They brought her in. She listened to the message that day. She felt a little different about being accepted in this place. And at the invitation call, she came forward. After the service, the pastor and his wife sat down and began to talk to her. They saw that there were special needs here. And she said, "You don't understand. You don't know. God can't accept me. I have lived for 20 years a horrible life. I have a heroin addiction." And she told them how much money per day her addiction required. And she said, "In order to feed my addiction, I have sold my body to more men than I can count. And I'm dying of AIDS. Can God accept a person as worthless as me?" The pastor's wife opened the scripture and took her with Jesus to the woman at the well. She turned then over a few passages of scripture to Mary Magdalene. And one by one, she took that lady through the scripture and showed her that she was acceptable in the sight of God. The story ends that lady did pray, and she did accept Christ as her Savior, and she did grow in her faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wrinkled look of her face was changed by a smile of new life that was there, because she found that she was worthy and she was acceptable. And she began to learn the songs of faith. And for months, she did come and she did join and sing in the choir. Her body was never changed. And the AIDS, they weren't removed when she received Christ as Savior. And within 16 months, she did die because of the lifestyle. But the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. And for about 16 to 18 months, she had learned this about herself: I am acceptable. I am loved. I am significant. I am important. The thing that the pastor and his wife had to do was not get her to repent and to confess. You see, when she came in and sat down, she repented. She confessed her sins to them openly. It wasn't a thing of getting her to a place of confession. The whole thing, the whole story, hinged on getting her to believe the Word was made flesh for her. God has a purpose for every one of us. He pursues us with His love. He shows us that we have worth. He did that by stepping down from heaven for us, by fighting for us. Some 700 years before Christ, in Isaiah chapter 62, Isaiah wrote this: "For thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be made, be terminated desolate, but thou shalt be by thy name, the Lord delighteth in thee." The Lord delighteth in thee. Jesus, the man, allows us to see God. Jesus, the man, allows us to see ourselves. And then what does he do? As this woman was saved gloriously by the Word made flesh, things became new. That's a great word, isn't it? Not new. How would you like to have a new house? A new car? We come to a place that we call it a new year. There are new books and new songs and new relationships. There's new beginnings. We have those New Year's resolutions that we give. But the Bible tells us that's what happens when we see God and then we see ourselves. And we come to know Christ, we become new. When we are baptized, we are buried in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in the newness of life. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature." Why? Old things are passed away. What's the result of the old things passing away? All things become new. They're becoming new. So what is the new thing in the passages here? It's talking about new life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. What does that mean? He had a plan for us. The whole purpose of salvation was to do what? Make us new. Change us to the image of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. After the image of the Word, after the image of Christ, we're created to a new man by knowledge. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So God's plan for us is to make us new through the Word become flesh. Now, as we're looking at the Word becoming this flesh, we also want to see Jesus allows us to see God. Jesus allows us to see ourselves. The third is Jesus, the man. He destroys three things. He destroys for us. He destroyed death. He destroyed the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 talks about that. God's children are human beings and were made of flesh and blood. And Jesus also became that flesh and blood. We read that early on. Because he was flesh and blood, and because he offered his life, because he was buried, he died and rose again. Brother Aylstock, in these little reports he was doing, another friend of mine that's there with him, Brother Doug, came walking up behind him, and I noticed Doug was wiping tears from his eyes. And Mike began to interview him a little bit about what he said, and he said, "This is the most touching place that I've ever been before." He said, "I don't know it for sure, but to think Jesus' body laid right through that opening. Right there, his body was there because he became flesh." Now, the outcome of it is, since he became flesh, he destroyed death. I can't imagine the conversation between the devil and all of the demons on resurrection morning. You see, the devil had done everything he could to keep Christ from the cross. You remember the temptation of Christ after he had fasted for those 40 days? What was the purpose of the devil tempting Jesus at that time? To keep him from going to the cross. Why was it the decrees was put out? Why was it that even the birth of Christ, that the decree to kill Jewish young boys, why was that put out? To keep him from getting to the cross? To hinder him from being able to give his life? Why? Because the devil held the key of death and of hell. I can't help but imagine just a little bit that in the darkness of that tomb, as the third morning approached and the resurrection of Jesus was coming and the demons of hell were trying their best to hold Jesus back and Satan was their cheerleader, he was their boss, he's screaming out orders to them to keep him and hold him and don't let him, and the demons are having to admit their frailty and their insignificant power and say, we can't, he's coming out anyway. And the door of the tomb was removed and Jesus came forth and Satan was at that moment defeated. He was defeated as the power of death. It's unusual for us to say that we have no fear of death. I'm going to tell you this morning, I have a fear of death. Now, let's clarify. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me after death. Death is the door. I'm afraid of the door. I'm fearful of that door. I don't know how I'm going to die. I heard this last week that somebody that took their life by running their car into the river. Not me. I don't want the water coming up in the car. You know, it's getting up and you're trying to find a place to breathe. Not me. I visited a woman not too long ago.
Medical College of Virginia in the intensive care unit that tried to take her life. She was not successful, but she ruined her life. Deformed and blind the rest of her days. I'm not doing that. Somebody said, if you're going to die, how do you want to die? I want to go to sleep. You say, well, if you were controlling your death, what would you do? Tic Tacs. Overdose of them. I have a fear or respect of how I will die, but I don't have one concern what happens after I die. I've watched as people just took a last breath and left. And I've seen a smile come across her face. That's how I want to go. But the truth is this, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, He defeated death. And He went over, and you know, the Bible tells us that He took the keys of death and hell. Keys give authority. In your pocket, you have a set of keys. In your purse, you have a set of keys, and those keys give you authority. You'll have your house key that gives you authority to go in your house. I don't have your house key. I do not have the authority to go in your house. I have in my pocket the key to my house. I have the authority over it. If you'll take the key, you can have authority as long as you also take the mortgage payment. You have a key to your vehicle. You have a key to this. You have a key to that. And at the moment of the resurrection of Christ, Jesus went to Satan and said, I'll take those keys. And I have all power over death. And I have all power over you. And one of these days, the flesh, the Word made flesh, who was there at creation, will be there at the moment of judgment. And He'll have His keys in His hand. And He'll cast the devil into the lake of fire forever and ever. Simply because He became flesh. He didn't become an angel. He didn't become a spirit. He became flesh. Beauty of the Scripture that says, we had not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You say to me in an emotional way, nobody understands. God didn't understand where I am. I've been rejected. Tell Jesus about that. He came into His own and His own received Him not. Well, nobody understands the pain I'm in. Oh, really? Say that to the face of Jesus Christ. Nobody understands the temptation that I have. Really? Say that to Jesus Christ. You see, He loved us so much. He cared for us so much that He said, I can't take upon myself the form of an angel and do what needs to be done. And I can't take upon myself the form of a prophet and do what needs to be done. I've sent prophets. I've sent judges. I've sent kings. I've sent storms. I've sent winds. I've sent all of these things. And none of them can do what I can do when the Word becomes flesh. We have got to get away from what we called our flannel graph Jesus. We've got to get away from our picture of what Jesus is. And look at what the Bible says He is. Oh, by the way, He was not an American. And He was not European. He was born of the nation of Israel. You say, what's He look like? It looks like the nation of Israel. We have to get over the visualized picture. Because we don't live when John did, when he said, and we beheld Him, and we heard Him. And we touched Him. We don't have that privilege. We will one day. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And because He was made flesh, it changed the course of world history. And it can change the course of our lives if we know Him. And I don't just mean, not just saying, know His name and know that He's love and know that He's good, but know that in His flesh, He suffered. In His emotion, He was worn out. He spent Himself. He knew what labor was. He knew all the same natural things that you and I know, because He became flesh. Why? As we read in Hebrews, He became flesh so that He would be that one lasting sacrifice to end every other blood sacrifice that was not sufficient. He became flesh as sufficiency to bring us salvation. And if He is sufficient enough to save us by giving us His flesh, He is sufficient enough to keep us and to strengthen us and to lead us and to fellowship with us if we just simply put our hearts to knowing Him. Let's bow for prayer, please. He allowed us to see